When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Today's reading from the Book of Revelation reminds me of a story from my seminary days. One of our scripture scholars lived in a house that bordered the Hoosier National Forest, so it wasn't in it was a little bit of a distance from St. Meinrad. And there was nothing about this house that would indicate that a Catholic priest or a scripture scholar lived there. And one day he got a knock on the door, and there's two young men, Jehovah's Witnesses, wanting to share the good news. And he said, "You know, I love the good news. Come on in." So they sat down and gave their spiel and everything, and he was very patiently listening. At the very end, he said, I have one question." They said, "Oh, we love answering questions. Please, go right ahead." And he said, "So, you believe there is a limited number of people that's going to be saved?" And they said, "Yes, that is correct." And he says, "And you know what that number is?" And he said, "Yes, 144,000, just as we just heard in today's first reading. And he paused for a moment, and he said, "You know what? I like my odds better in the Catholic Church." But I think it's good to remind us that today is the solemnity of all the saints. You know, I gave a presentation to our first graders about the saints last week, and I was trying to make a distinction between those saints that have been canonized, recognized by the church, and the others that are already in heaven. And I said, "I'm not really sure what that number is." Well, of course, one of our first grade teachers had her cell phone out, and she's quickly asking Google or whoever, and came back and says, "It's over 10,000, Father." I said, "Okay, thank you." So, you know, we're not talking about just those 10,000 saints that have been recognized by the church, canonized by the church, but we're talking about all the saints, all of those who now reside in heaven. We're talking about people such as, in my heart of hearts, my grandparents, my aunts, those people of my family that have gone before me from this life. We're talking about all the saints, you know. And the reason why we celebrate this is to remind ourselves that just as they have finished their journey throughout this life and have made it to heaven, we are called to follow the same path. We are called to live our lives as saints, preparing ourselves for eternal life in heaven. And we heard each and every time this solemnity is celebrated, the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus teaches us that we are to be the instruments that God uses to bless the poor in spirit, to bless those who mourn, the meek, and the others in that list. When we allow God to use us to bless others, that is a good way of following a life of sanctity, of becoming saintly during this life on earth. He also teaches us that the mourning, the hunger, the poorness of spirit that we experience can be turned around to make us better able to love others. Because when we are in the midst of those things, when we hunger for God, when we mourn for the loss of a loved one, we find ourselves relying on God even more. And it is in building up that virtue of humility that also allows us to live saintly lives. Now, it's always important to remember the gospel does not teach that God gives us these trials to earn heaven. You know, there is nothing we can ever do to earn heaven. We are not perfect. No one is perfect. We have to rely on the victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we also have to rely on the fact that God never abandons us, even in the midst of those trials and tribulations of our life. But He can use those trials if we allow Him to make good come about. But I think as well, when we look to the saints in heaven, we don't look to them as just models of good living. In many cases, they are. But we're also in communion with them. People will remember that we referred to the church militant and the church triumphant. The church militant being the church that still exists on this earth, and the church triumphant that exists in heaven. But they're still both church. They're still both the one body of Christ, which means we are in union with those who have gone before us. We are united with our brothers and sisters who have already passed from this world to the next. Our union with them, our friendship with the saints in heaven, benefits us as their prayers are effective. After all, they're a lot closer to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit than we are in this life. And they are praying for our continued conversion of heart, for us to continue to live saintly lives, lives filled with trust in God and His mercy. So we rejoice today for the friendship with the saints. It is truly a blessing to have such a crowd beyond numbers, praying for us, but also always keeping in mind this life is not the end, but our goal is to reside with our God in heaven, along with all the saints around His heavenly throne. That will culminate our life as we look to the life to come.